This is Dropout Nation. I'm Rashawn Biddle. Today on the Dropout Nation podcast, build on the power of school choice, using high-quality options to build brighter futures for our children and our communities. School choice is powerful. It is critical to advancing the systemic reform of American public education that our children need and deserve. And for our communities, especially those black and brown, choice, along with parent power, is the necessary prerequisite for our liberation and self-determination. These facts, along with data that's coming out of Stanford University's Center for Research on Educational Outcomes, shows why we must continually push to expand high-quality choice for all children, as well as build the infrastructure needed for choice to be real for each and every child and community. Now, the good news is that more choice is coming for our children in more parts of this country. In Alabama, which has been a holdout on charter schools, the state legislature there finally passed a law allowing for the opening operation of charters. And this form, in fact, the most popular form of school choice in the nation. In Florida, state legislators are pushing for an expansive school choice initiative that includes allowing families to send their kids to any public or charter school anywhere in the state. Anywhere in the state. Meanwhile, in New York State, where I'm originally from, Governor Andrew Cuomo and others are backing the passage of a tax credit initiative that would allow for the creation of scholarships that can help the poorest kids leave the Empire State's traditional failure mills. At the same time, Governor Cuomo is also pushing to expand more charters and allow more charters to open within the state, as well as planning to take over and overhaul failure mills, which in turn will allow for families to escape low-performing schools. Now, the expansion of choice in Alabama, along with the possibility of expanding choice in Florida and New York, is on top of the additions and increases in options for all of our children throughout the country. In fact, thanks to efforts such as the Obama administration's Race to the Top, more than 15 states have launched or expanded voucher initiatives, while some 1,510 new charters have opened between 2010-11 and 2014-15. And thanks to parent trigger laws, families such as those in Adelanto, California, have been able to wrangle their schools away from traditional districts, while others in places such as Los Angeles have been able to negotiate with schools and force the districts to actually do the right things for all of our children there. But school choice doesn't deserve to be supported just for its own sake. I mean, choice is wonderful, but there's more to choice than just having choice. The two biggest reasons for expanding choice lie with these realities. The first, that school choice can lead to brighter futures for our kids. The second, because it allows families as well as communities to control their own destinies. The first fact becomes plenty clear, courtesy of a study released last week by Credo. In it, a team led by Mackie Raymond, Credo's executive director, determined that charters in urban communities significantly improved student achievement. How significant was that improvement? The average kid in an urban charter gained 28 more days of learning in reading and 40 more days of learning in math than their traditional district peers. Now, if a kid had entered charter school at the beginning of first grade and stayed in for all 12 years, that means we're talking about nearly a full year of gains in reading and nearly 17 months of math learning over their traditional district counterpart. The gains are especially significant for poor minority children, who make up the bulk of kids attending charters. The average poor black child in a charter gains an additional 59 days of learning in reading and 44 additional days of math learning over a peer in a traditional district school. Over a 12-year period, that means an additional 2 years of achievement gains in reading and 17 additional months of gains in math. The average poor Latino child in a charter gained an additional 48 days in learning in reading and 25 additional days of learning in math over a district peer. This means 19 additional months of learning and reading and almost another year of math over an educational career. Especially for our poorest kids, who oftentimes start from behind, this means that they actually catch up to peers who have been doing fine and doing okay, and in fact, they can actually surpass them. Now, the results of the Credo study echo decades of other data on the importance and the power of choice. This includes a 2009 study by the RAND Corporation, which showed that kids attending charters in Chicago and Florida were 17 to 15% more likely to attend college than those attending traditional district schools, and that charters in four of seven locations surveyed by RAND made gains in math. Meanwhile, the Knowledge is Power program, the KIPP chain of charters, which serves poor and minority children, has seen 44% of its graduates complete college and other forms of higher education, a level five times higher than the rate of college completion for low-income students overall. Why can choice, especially high-quality choice, most importantly high-quality choice, work so well for kids? One reason is because it allows them to escape failure mills and dropout factories where low-quality teaching is and curricula is the norm. Giving families the ability to escape failure mills allows them to give their kids better education that serves them and their families well. This ability to choose out of failure is especially important for families of kids overlabeled as special ed cases. As Marcus Winters of the Manhattan Institute determined a few years ago in a study of New York City, charters tend to have fewer kids in special ed than traditional district counterparts. This reflects evidence from an earlier study he did with J.P. Green of the University of Arkansas on Florida's McKay vouchers, which showed that kids using them were less likely to be labeled as suffering from specific learning disabilities, a nebulous special ed category that's oftentimes mistaken for other issues such as illiteracy and other issues, than those attending traditional public schools. This is because charters and private schools are not looking to condemn kids as special ed cases in the first place. As a result, most kids entering those schools as regular ed students, and they start there and they end there, and thus they get the high-quality education they need and deserve. But choice isn't just about student achievement. Choice is also about self-determination, allowing communities and families to determine their own destinies, write their own stories, and help their children do the same. As James Guthrie, a former education commissioner in Nevada, has pointed out, the real way, the only real way families can be engaged in schools is if they actually have the power to shape the education their kids receive. We have already seen the impact of individualized education plans in special ed on making parents more aggressive in demanding better education for their kids. This is also true with school choice, along with parent trigger laws and parent power. We've seen this in cities such as New York, where parents teamed up with charter school operators to face down efforts by traditionalists to stop the expansion of charters. We've seen this last year in New York City when Bill de Blasio's effort to essentially shut down charters was fought back by families and school reformers. See, the thing that's clear is that school choice recognizes the fact that parents, when given high-quality information and given choices and access to high-quality choices, are capable of making smart decisions when they have the power to do so. And they can actually spur reform and challenge the status quo, both by demanding better for their kids and by escaping schools that are unworthy of their families. The power of choice is critical in urban communities, but it's also necessary in suburbia, where parents wrongly think that they already have a choice until they actually try to provide their kids the kind of education that suits their needs, and finds out that the traditional districts there won't allow them to do so. Giving full, unfettered choice to these families means giving them the ability to fully structure education for their children. This is as important for them as it is for their counterparts in urban communities. More importantly, by expanding choice, families can find high-quality alternatives to laggard schools in their communities and lead them to advocate for better. This was clear in Adelanto, California, where families successfully launched a parent trigger takeover what is now Desert Trails Preparatory Academy and transforming that school into a charter. Because families were mobilized to take power in education, they worked successfully to oust two of Adelanto's district board members, taking power within their communities. Choice and power in general and altogether means families empowered, communities empowered, and people mobilized. Now, as I said, choice is powerful, but yet, unfortunately, choice is still limited. There are still states such as Montana, seven states where kids who need school choice don't have it. Thanks to opposition from NEA and AFT affiliates, along with districts who don't want choice, there are states that are restrictive on the expansion of charters. In fact, in states such as Virginia and Maryland, where only 58 charters are operating, fewer than Colorado, which has 197 of them, rules that basically put districts in charge of deciding whether charters can open, something that's akin to allowing McDonald's to choose whether a Five Guys can open next door, leads to fewer choices becoming real. And as seen in Michigan, where Governor Rick Snyder struggled to pass a law expanding inter-district school choice, allowing families to choose another district to send their kids to, school systems will do all they can, including use their dependence on local property tax dollars to fight options for both the kids they already serve as well as keep out those that they don't and don't want to. But the limits on choice are not just about the restrictions. As the Center for Reinventing Public Education at the University of Washington has shown in a series of reports, reformers have failed to take on the challenges of building robust infrastructures to help choice become real. This includes the lack of comprehensive yet simple data on school performance that families can use to make better choices for their kids. See, even now, school data remains a black box geared towards compliance instead of being helpful in allowing families to make better decisions. There's also the high cost of sending kids outside of communities, both in terms of transportation and time. As former Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights executive Diane Pichet has pointed out, transportation can be the biggest obstacle of all, and so we must address that. So how do we expand choice and build robust infrastructures to help families take advantage of choice? Well, the first step starts with reformers teaming up with communities, especially those in poor and minority neighborhoods, especially immigrant communities, especially grandparents and single-parent households, to push legislators and governors into expanding all forms of choice. One important long-term step, overhaul school funding. When states take over the job of funding schools as they are actually constitutionally required to do, they can take the next step and essentially turn those dollars into vouchers, allowing families to choose any school they see fit. This can lead to expanding choice in all areas. This includes offering inter-district choice as being proposed in Florida and already a reality in Indiana and a few other states, as well as lifting any remaining caps on charter school growth. It also means allowing families to choose courses within traditional districts. Thanks to the gatekeeping of gifted and talented programs and also the efforts to condemn so many kids to special ed, what ends up happening is families don't have choices at all, even within their own school districts. And, of course, passing parent trigger laws that allow families to take control of failing schools also is important and makes sense to do. At the same time, reformers must work on providing families with the infrastructure for choice. This means providing families with simple yet comprehensive school data. organizations such as the Foundation for Excellence in Education, the group founded by likely presidential candidate Jeb Bush, are showing the way with the development of new models for school report cards that provide critical data that families need. For black families especially, clear data on suspensions and expulsions can help them avoid schools that will condemn their children's futures. Also as well, districts within communities, states should also require school choice players, including charters, to provide transportation or work with various groups to provide that transportation so it can make it easier for families to send their kids to high quality schools within their communities no matter where they are. In Indianapolis, for example, Mayor Bart Peterson made that clear that it had to happen back when he was heading up that city. This is something that Greg Ballard, the current mayor, has continued to do. We should follow Indiana's example and Indianapolis' example on this. So yes, choice is powerful. Choice is critical to transforming American public education. Choice is critical to transforming our communities. And so we must expand choice and also build the infrastructures needed to make choice a reality and ultimately leverage that power of choice to help all of our children. Listen to the Dropout Nation podcast every Sunday. Also, read Dropout Nation every day for your news and commentary on the reform of American public education. And read my columns in The American Spectator and elsewhere. This is Dropout Nation. I'm Rashawn Biddle. You have a great night.